another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast.
Hello.
I'm Ollie.
How are you?
Helpful, educational.
Research the heat press.
The best podcast conversations we have had.
My business called John McGauliffe Design.
With Matt from PrintPro UK.
It's nice to be here.
I have loved this episode. If you're a garment decorator, welcome to the crew.
Hello and welcome back to the Garment Decorators podcast, where we talk everything to do with running your print decorating business. It could be how to decorate properly, it could be new tips and tricks, new business ideas, marketing, anything you need to know to be more successful at running a business. We're here in the Styles Heat Printing Innovation Centre in Braintree, recording live today. Before we get into the podcast, I just want to remind you that the Outerwear Summit is going to be on the 22nd of October. There are some tickets left available. I think it's just a 6 p.m. slot now. If you want to come and join us and StormTech for the outerwear event where we discuss how to decorate expensive jackets, premium outerwear, everything you need to know for a great new revenue stream for your business, just head to styles.co.uk/events and you can get your ticket. So let's get into today's podcast episode. I'm delighted to be joining you with a new team member today. This is Molly. Welcome, Molly.
Hi.
Molly has just started with us as a content creator. So anyone that's following us on TikTok, you would have already seen some of the wonderful videos that she's been doing. And what we thought we'd do today, as she's new to the industry, new to Styles, is she's going to be the voice of all of you that have got many questions that you've always want answered, you've always been a bit confused by, or if you're starting out and you're like, you know, what's the truth behind this? So Molly is going to be your voice today. She's prepared lots of questions for you, me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do my best to answer them. We'll have a bit of a chat about what we, you know, how have you been getting on the first few weeks here at Styles?
Yeah, so it's been all right so far. I've definitely learned a lot, but I can remember the questions I definitely asked to begin with.
Yeah.
So to get on with the video.
Yeah.
When I first started, I didn't quite know what you actually sold. So is it just transfers? Do you sell printed items and apparel, or do you just sell heat presses?
So we sell custom heat transfers, which are available turnaround from anything to same day to max of 2 days. So just go to our website, upload your artwork. A couple of days later, you've got these wonderful heat transfers, which you can then put under a heat press, which we also supply. We have the world's best of everything. And we also have heat transfer vinyl. So anyone that wants specialty products and finishes, we can provide heat transfer vinyl by the meter. We have the largest range of heat transfer vinyl anywhere in the world. And that's all manufactured in our own facilities. Everything we do is always manufactured by ourselves so that we can provide garment decorators everything they need to be successful with their business.
Nice. Secondly, what's stopping someone from just buying the largest heat pattern and the biggest heat press? Could you not, in theory, just print onto anything you have if you've got the biggest?
In theory, as long as the fabric or textile can take heat, you could decorate onto anything you wanted to. I mean,
so I wouldn't have to buy all the different machines. Could I just buy?
Just buy one, yeah, yeah. So that's it. Yeah, so I see what you mean. So all of our heat presses come with what we call interchangeable patterns.
Yeah.
So the bottom plate, you can always change the size to be something smaller. You can be a different shape, like a circle. It could be a shoe pattern.
Yeah.
It could be anything. As long as the bottom is always this equal or smaller than the top, you can change it to be 15 different things, I think it is.
How come it has to be smaller or the same size in the top?
Just because when the heat press comes down, you don't want the bottom overlapping. So if you've got a bigger bottom, you won't be able to decorate that whole area,
right?
Because the heat press at the top is always going to be smaller.
Yeah.
And it's just more accurate with the pressure to make sure that it's that way. And it just means that if you put something too big on the bottom, you might get your transfer placement wrong and it won't apply properly. And then you'd be really annoyed and what's going on with this?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Go for it.
Why would somebody choose to buy a smaller heat press over the larger one?
So why would someone buy a smaller heat press over the larger one? It could just be your business model, really. So for instance, if you're only printing onto children's clothing, and why get a bigger heat press? It really comes down to pick a heat press based on what is the biggest design you're going to print. Sometimes it's somewhere in the middle. You know, we have three different sizes of most heat press. So sometimes, you know, don't buy a heat press that you don't need. Buy the size that works for you. Or perhaps you're buying a heat press to take to events and you're just doing left chest prints or small designs, or you're printing onto tote bags, something like that, where it's just overkill to have a big heat press, or you just want something a bit small and compact you can travel around with and do anything you want to. That's kind of what it comes down to. That's a common question, though, that we always get is, and I always say, go and look at your design, especially if you're buying like a new heat press or a replacement heat press. All of the artwork that you've been sent over the last 6 months to a year, find the biggest one and then choose that for your heat press.
Yeah, because then you can just change the plan.
Exactly. You can always go smaller with the bottom plate and then you can decorate anything, but you can't ever change the top plate because it wouldn't be accurate again.
Yeah, and it might miss your heat transfer, so then you can't peel it off properly and stuff. So I hear you talking about pre-pressing a lot.
Yep.
What is the purpose and why do we do it?
The purpose of that is when you have your textile, you want to be getting a perfect surface to print onto.
Right.
One of the things that heat transfer vinyl, any kind of decorating with a heat press, it doesn't want to have any moisture in the garment.
Why?
Because it interferes with the adhesion process. So essentially a heat transfer vinyl has got a glue on the back in a simple version of looking at it. And glue and water don't mix together.
Okay.
That's the simple version.
Yeah.
And we've seen some shockers when people come in because if you've got lots of boxes and boxes of t-shirts and bags, you're going to store them probably in a garage when you're first starting out, or a warehouse when you get to a certain state. It's cold, it's damp in there. You're not going to have the radiators in overnight, especially now. I mean, I think this week we're recording like mid-September, everyone's suddenly come in jumpers and hoodies. It's changed over the last 2 days. Everyone's thinking about putting the heating on.
Yeah.
And your poor t-shirts and bags are going to sit in that warehouse regardless. You know, they're not going to be controlled. And it really does matter. You know, we've had customers come in and they've said, oh, your transfer's not working. It's terrible. I can't get them to go my bags. I'm like, are you pre-pressing? Yes, I'm doing everything right. And they came in. We put the bag under a heat press and literally steam is coming off, like rising up. It's like if you go out in the cold and you've had a run and your head's like steaming off the top.
Yeah.
That's what's happening with the bag because it had been stored somewhere really cold.
So they obviously haven't pre-pressed it properly,
or they were just like skipping it a little bit or not every single time. And it's just good practice. It also means you've got no creases. It's flat. It's a perfect surface. It takes like 3 seconds. So it's really not a big task. And most heat presses have got a dual timer on them. So it means you don't have to worry about changing your time after pre-press, main press. It's there. It's done for you. It's easy. Karen, sorry, I'm just having a quick drink.
So obviously we know what scorch marks are, but in case anyone doesn't know what scorch marks are.
The scourge of heat printers, the thing that everyone hates the most. So if anyone has never printed before, if you've ever had a top and it's got like a big discolored rectangle around the design on the t-shirt, then that's what we call a scorch mark or a press box or a bruise on the t-shirt. And this is a common problem, and it is a common problem for people that stops them from decorating onto certain products. Or they try and find weird workarounds that don't always work. And I understand why it's a problem, because you don't want to give a customer an item like that. If I was a customer, I would return it. But the good news is it's very easy to get around it with the right technique, but it is a big problem. And that's, as mentioned earlier in the show, we're talking about the Outerwear Summit. And that is something we're going to be helping people with there, because especially when it comes to more expensive items, you can't really afford to, 30, 40, 80 pound jacket and have a mark on it, because that's your cost right there that you've just lost.
Once you've lost that,
you're eating into the profit of the bit of your business that way. But you can get around it. We have a video on our YouTube channel called The Arch Method. So anyone that's listening or watching and it's the first time that they've come across us and they have the problems with scorch marks, there is a solution to it. Go look for The Arch Method on YouTube. You'll find a video about it, or join us at the Outerwear Summit. Bring your problem products with you and we'll run through the Arch Method. We'll test it. We'll get it right. And I'll show you how easy it is to do. Certain products are better than others. As we saw the other day when we were testing StormTech jackets.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? And you were like, I don't understand. You're like, there's nothing. Mental. The StormTech product was really good.
Yeah, definitely the more expensive or at the better quality product, shall I say.
Absolutely.
They're not prone to scorch marks at all, really.
And then it wasn't until I cranked the pressure up to like a 7.8 on the back of that jacket that you could tell the difference.
Yeah, and even then it wasn't like, we had to stare at it, I'd say.
Yeah. But some products, you know, sometimes it's, you know, people do overpressure like that, which is not good for the heat press, doesn't add any benefit to it, and always gets a press box.
Yeah.
And then on certain products, they're just more susceptible to being marked like that. So that's why you use the arch method, because there's four steps to it. But you don't always need to go to step four. Sometimes step one or step two will sort it out.
So what is the arch method?
So the arch method, it stands for adjust the pressure. So step number one is get that pressure right. And like most of the time, there's a press box because it's too much pressure has been going into the garment.
Yeah.
So you can solve it straight away without having to spend a penny.
Yeah. And obviously a lot of our machines tell you the pressure, which is really good.
Exactly. So there's no excuses. And if you're struggling, you've got maybe got a cheaper machine and you're not sure, do give us a ring, because we might be able to give some guidance anyway on how to find what the right pressure is. Saying we don't want to missell you anything.
Yeah.
Step number two, so R is reduced temperature transfer. So another reason that these press boxes are appearing is because certain fabrics, especially ones heavy on polyester, they mark above a certain temperature. It's normally, I think it's 129 degrees,
right,
which is quite a low temperature. But that is why there are solutions. So there are heat transfers. Ultra color, for instance, goes down 125 degrees.
Right.
So it's below the point where the fabric starts to react to the heat. So that means you don't get a mark on it. So that solves many, many problems. And a lot of people just go for like a water-based transfer because it's got a lower temperature point. And then you're like, fine, great.
Haven't got to worry.
Looks great. It's water-based. Colors are amazing anyway. That's the best looking transfer you can get anyway. So it certainly helps. I would often use lower temperature transfers are most of the time anyway, just because saves having to worry about it.
Makes so much more sense.
So that's A, R. C is correct cover sheet. So if you're not using any kind of release paper, try using a simple release paper to start off with. That will solve a lot of problems. If you really need to, we recommend something called Grip Flex. So this, again, solves like probably 80% of the problems are solved at that point. It's a Teflon-style release paper, and it's just thicker and more rubbery, and it just protects the garment and the transfer.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, what's the point in using release paper? Like, what is the sole purpose? Like, what's that sheet
So part of it is you're not stopping the transfer from getting any heat with a normal release paper sheet, but just means that if you're using a dark garment, it's going to take that shine off. Sometimes it's in the same way that you should always, if you've got a black t-shirt, you should iron it inside out, because if you put an iron on it, it will start to like put shine lines on it.
Yeah. Well, I actually didn't know that until you told me as well. So I learned something about just ironing my normal clothes.
Exactly. Yeah. Jeans.
I'm only 21. My mum still does it for me.
I'll keep it going for as long as you can. Yeah. And maybe we'll give you some extras to take home with you. But yeah, black trousers, black jeans, do the same inside out. Because it's just fabric just marks, basically, if it's darker. And this cover sheet adds a protective layer over it. So you need to put the temperature up by about 5 to 7 degrees, depending on the fabric. Test always.
Yeah.
And that solves most problems. I mean, we decorated, because it's a spoiler alert, but we managed to put 160-degree Plastisol transfers onto StormTech jackets without a mark last week.
Yeah.
So it's possible if you follow the arch method.
That's not a spoiler. That's a public service announcement.
It's public service announcement, exactly. And then step number four, H, which is heated lower platen. So that means if all else fails at this point, a heated lower platen always works. The reason it's step number four is because it is a product that only works with Hotronix machines. We know not all of you have them. And that's why we want to make sure there's a process for everyone to follow. If you're still getting problems and you're using expensive jackets, you then at this point, you do need to invest in this type of equipment. It's still not an outrageous cost. The actual unit, power unit for the lower platen is about £300, and the platen start off around £300 as well. So
yeah, but it's an investment.
So. It is. It will pay for itself straight away, and that will solve everything. because that way you're heating from inside the garment. So the outside part, which you're getting the press mark on, is never even touched with temperature above 110 degrees. So it always, always fixes it. But we like people to be able to work through the process first to find a quick solution.
Yeah, I mean, you need to
solution.
Jump to the end.
You don't.
If the other options are working for you.
Exactly. So if you want to see us do it visually, go and look up the YouTube video or come and join us on the 22nd of October.
Yeah. So talking about scorch marks, really random. What do you think, like, do you think scorch marks is the end mark, or do you think you could like physically burn a hole for a t-shirt with our heat presses? Or
I don't think you could physically burn a hole with one.
Matter how long you were pressing
I don't think the temperature goes high enough.
That's good to know.
I think that you could really discolour and you could break the fibres of it.
Yeah.
But I think you'd have to have like a lighter or something.
Right,
or
so
an
it's
actual
not a fire hazard by itself.
No, nice. It would just trash the garment and look terrible. But, the heat presses go up to 220 degrees.
Yeah.
And I think you'd have to go well above that to actually burn anything. Probably like, I don't know if chemistry and physics well enough, but
yeah,
I would say like probably like 600, 700, 800 degrees. So
right, okay.
We're not even close to the point where it would set on fire now.
I think we spoke about ironing.
Mm-hmm.
What is stopping someone from at home buying the transfers that we sell and then just putting on the iron at home?
Nothing's stopping them. Technically, you could, if you take the steam off and put an iron down, you could get it to stick on.
Yeah.
The only risk you take is how long it stays on.
Right.
Because an iron is not guaranteed heat. You don't really know what temperature it is.
Yeah.
And even if it says it is, it's not going to be consistent throughout
not
the whole
accurate.
Iron.
Yeah.
It's not accurate enough to be like, this will last 75 washes. Like
right.
we say with our transfers, you might get a couple of washes out of it and then we'll see.
Yeah. Right.
And it might look great when you do it, and it's not until someone washes it or washes it a couple of times and then they're like, yeah, I'm not happy with that product. But you know, there's no reason, let's say you wanted to create a spec piece that you wanted to show someone to get a job to be able to buy your heat press, so this t-shirt's never going to wash, it's just for display.
Yeah.
Then, you know, there's nothing stopping you doing that. I just wouldn't sell a product that's been made with an iron.
Right, because isn't it with our heat presses, the heat is throughout the entire top pattern.
It's the most accurate heat anywhere
whereas
on the market.
With iron, it's not as much.
It's three dots, whatever that means.
Worse than ours.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not even close. You could, it's probably is like similar temperature when you put on to the three dots. It's probably around 150 degrees, but parts of the iron could be 120, it could be 150, it could be 180. It's just not accurate enough. And you can't, not everyone has got the same strength. So when you're putting pressure down through the iron, everyone's going to have a different version of what medium pressure looks like.
That's so true. I hadn't even considered that because it's not controlled. It's just.
It's not controlled, no. It's just, you're taking a real gamble.
Yeah.
Trying to sell a commercial product.
And you said before, like, imagine I hit the gym one day and I'd done my arms and then I needed to press with an iron the next day. And you don't press down as hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your arms hurt from
that's so true.
Exactly. You get bored after a couple of them having to iron them down.
Yeah.
Or like, you get distracted. You like, you know, you're sitting there like, because it's not like 10 seconds either. It's probably like 30 seconds, 60 seconds with an iron. You know, people are going to be like, well, I just have my phone out and do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like bored doing this.
Whereas at least like, the auto press, you can,
Yeah.
The auto open, that's the name. It's like you can walk away for a couple minutes if you need to. Like, it's still going to be open. Nothing's going to have happened to the item.
Exactly.
Just got to hope it's cold peel if you're going to do that.
Exactly. There we go.
This is a bit of a wacky question.
Okay.
So obviously we can heat press onto any type of apparel kind of wear. And obviously you choose your heat press accordingly. Like if it's an app, you'd use the 360 IQ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could you print onto other items that aren't clothing? For instance, like bread is a flat surface. If you were to go...
Okay, yeah.
But if you were to put bread onto a heat press, it obviously might come out as toast, but could you, in theory, put a transfer onto a piece of bread? Or just visual? Obviously, you're not going to eat it.
I've never tried, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it would depend on the consistency of the bread, I would say.
Yeah,
so
maybe if it's like,
you want, like, you probably want bread. You want one with a bit more structure, right? Probably you want to cut it a bit thicker, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get squashed down a bit. So, like, if you just go like a medium slice of, like, in the bag.
Could you make a toasty then?
If you put, I think,
screw the transfers. Yeah,
I think if you got one of those like toasty bags that go in the toaster and you put,
oh yeah, it might actually damage the heat press.
Then you could, I mean, it's got consistent heat going through it. You have to flip over halfway through to make sure you're getting it on both sides.
I know.
Unless you use like a lower platter, maybe then you could speed the process up.
Didn't the first idea for a heat press come from a panini maker?
A lot of craft heat presses are basically panini makers.
Oh, so could you, like, say you had, like, a wallet or something you want to print on, use a toasty with a toasty maker?
I have no doubt that people in the Hotronics factory used the machines to make grilled cheese. I'm like, 100% sure of that one.
But on that, would you be able to print onto things like a hairbrush or a water bottle? I think we spoke about it before. You can use heat transfers on like windows and stuff, can't you? Is that right?
You could put it onto like something that's flat, like a cardboard box.
Yeah.
If you were like making your own boxes to send stuff out, and you could easily put heat transfer onto like a nice box. But it'll need
like
to be flat.
And stuff.
Yeah, that's so it just needs to be flat and it can take heat. So like the hairbrush, you'd probably struggle to get
that
to stay flat.
Yeah.
But like a box, you could do it. People have put them onto like wooden boards before. You could do sublimation with the heat press onto like slate and like glass blocks. That's quite popular. So if you ever like someone with like a glass block and it's got like a colored design or someone's face or something onto it, there's a good chance that that's actually been heat applied by sublimation. But as long as it's flat and can take heat, you could put anything under there.
Nice.
Paper, you could, you know, people make cards. Heat transfer vinyl onto cards. You could do that, yeah. Absolutely. So if you want a nice glitter card or something like that, you could do that for sure.
What's your reel? And the guys in America made a Christmas ornament on a piece of, like a branch that was cut into a section, like a flat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like a wooden, chunk. You could do that, absolutely. So there are, there's all sorts of other weird and wonderful textiles that, you know, you could try and decorate onto. Mm-hmm. You know, we have ball presses. We have, I've seen people put it on to heat transfer onto tennis balls,
that's
things like
crazy,
that. So, you know, if you've got the right heat press, you can get, well, quite a lot of things, you know, and there's lots of like, just looking around this room, like plush toys. Now you could put, I mean, a lot of them have print access areas, but you could put, stick a whole plush toy under a heat press.
Yeah,
you just have to like apologize before you do it. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be doing that to my teddies, that's for sure.
But you could do lots of stuff. You know, we've had people putting things onto like Speedos before, cricket hats.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but on my family holiday, my stepdad got matching Speedos for all the men, and had to walk around and had a print on it. So that's probably heat transfer.
That'd have been heat applied. Exactly. There's all sorts of things. You know, I think the strangest one we had in here once was we'd ordered a box of stuff from one of the, I think it was like Beachfield possibly, and I think we got some extra like balaclavas in, and we're like, But, you know, we could heat apply. We could put as we had them, we're like, let's put some heat transfers onto them.
Don't know who they're getting sold to, but.
You know, it's maybe some use.
Yeah.
We had that story about the beige-coloured morph suit, and they had to.
Morph suit?
It was for a costume, and somebody had to heat transfer, like, somebody's tattoos onto it so that
they
pretend.
Oh,
like
I
a skin
really
like,
that's
costume.
Quite
yeah.
cool, actually, for Halloween and stuff.
And there was also a funny story that accompanied that about even needing to heat press on the nipples.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, naked.
Kind of bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I met someone at a craft fair, and they were doing everything on such a small version, I think, but they were like making special garments for like Barbies and things like that.
Oh, like small clothing.
Literally, yeah.
Also like Build-A-Bears and stuff
Build-A-Bear,
as well. Like
yeah.
obviously they have outfits.
Yeah. There's lots and lots of things you like. The more you start to think about it, like, oh, I didn't even think about it. Like a couple of years ago, like Orders brought the sliders out and you're like, oh, This just makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course you. Yeah, now we can decorate, put heat transfers and vinyl onto all sorts. I'm sure there'll be something strange at the shows in February next year that will be like, oh, that's a new idea. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, wait and see what they come up
with. Yeah.
So obviously we have lots of different heat transfer types. What, obviously DTF, I think that's the one where you can just print one sheet of something, isn't it?
Yeah, correct.
And that's Ultracolor Max.
Yes, yeah. Right, yeah.
What is stopping someone from just using DTF? Like, what's the point in the other ones if you can just order what you need from DTF and it gets the job done?
I think for me, it really comes down to the volume. So the great thing, DTF, there's nothing stopping them, is the short answer. But what's perhaps stopping them from being a more profitable business is that's when it makes sense.
Right.
So say if you're ordering more of 20 of the same design, you're much better switching to an ink tray if it's one color or Ultracolor, which is a digital hybrid transfer. End result's the same. So a customer will never tell the difference.
Right.
Both look amazing. If not, colours are a bit better with Ultracolor versus DTF, I would say.
Isn't that Ultracolor Pro?
Ultracolor Pro, exactly. But the great thing is the more you order, the cheaper it's going to get, but in a much more aggressive way. So DTF will come a little bit cheaper the more you order, but not dramatically so, in the same way that Ultracolor at 10 units versus 100 units is half the price.
Right.
So that means that if you're doing volume, every penny counts, or in this case, we're talking pounds, not pennies. So it means if you could save £1, £3 every time you put that heat press down because you were using a different transfer, it adds up over the year that, you know, that's tens of thousands of pounds difference in profit.
And when you know you're going to be ordering that same design, what's the point in just...
Yeah. If it's less than, if it's like, say, 10 or 20 more of the same design, ask us if you're unsure and speak to one of the team here and we'll tell you exactly which product to use based on your design, and then mix and match with DTF in between. So if you're doing one, or it's like not a regular design, so you don't want Tab to stock it and you'll just do it as and when, that's where you can mix and match. Still looks great. The end result in terms of what you give to your customer, they will still be happy if you mix and match the two processes.
Right.
So go with what is going to make you the most profit.
Yeah,
that's what obviously I would do. If I was running a business, that's what I would do.
Yeah, why would you not want profit?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I mean, I love money personally.
So, if you're unsure, give us a call, send us an email, direct message online, and we'll always help you and tell you this is the most profitable way to approach this process.
Yeah. So talking about hot peels and cold peels. Mm-hmm. What would happen if we had a hot peel and we left it a bit long? Like what damage is actually getting done there?
It's more that a hot peel wants to be peeled hot. So when we manufacture a transfer that's designed, we say hot peel, it's part of how the paper releases off the transfer.
Okay.
It's in the chemistry of the transfer. So that's why it has to be hot peeled. If you leave it too long, it won't come off.
It's just stuck there.
Yeah, it's not like a hot/cold. It's hot or cold.
And then... if you left it, could you reheat it?
You probably could bring the press down again for another 12 seconds and it'll be enough to release it back off. But if it's a heat-sensitive garment, that could be the difference between scorching it and not.
Yeah.
It's just, there's not really... if you're getting hot peel transfers, then you should peel them on the press, really.
And I personally love a hot peel.
Exactly.
It's so satisfying, like getting it straight away.
Yep, throw it to the side, move on to the next one.
It's impatient for a cold peel. But then I'm not making tons of T-shirts at a time, so
no,
it's each their own, isn't it, really?
That's it. And if you're ever unsure about, because we have Ultracolor, Ultracolor Pro, the main difference between the two is Ultracolor goes a little bit lower on the temperature than Ultracolor Pro. So if it's a really, really heat-sensitive garment...
is that DTF end? It's lower.
So we're talking about digital hybrid transfer. So DTF generally fuses higher than Ultracolor and Ultracolor Pro by about 10 to 20 degrees. So if it's a very heat-sensitive garment, you might want to go with Ultracolor anyway. But if you're ever unsure, like sometimes a cold peel is a good fit. Certain fabrics I find, actually, I prefer letting it go cold and coming back to it later. But that's why it's always important. If you're using a new product, test it. And if you know, get some samples from us and you'll be able to test it and find what looks best. Because in terms of a process, it's nice to peel on the pattern, but you could just put them all to the side and cold peel them all later. So you're not going to
do it in batches.
It's not going to lose you much time doing it that way.
Yeah. Is there any new products that are coming out or trending that you think people should know about designing and stuff?
I think the silicone one is, you know, that's a relatively new product that is very fresh in the market. There's lots of possibilities there. People love Dimension on product. It looks expensive. It looks good. Colours are great on it.
I can't say about the colours. Like, what kind of, a wide range of colours?
Hundreds and hundreds of colours. Yeah. So we can mix inks to get you spot colours on that one as well. So no matter what your designs, that can come together. I would say that there's lots of possibilities that we can do on emblems and patches as well now. So we do lots of other production out of our Madrid facility, where we can do a lot of what we call 3D Flex, which is multicolored badges with texture. That's very
popular.
Is that
to make the embroidered look? Is that
it kind of,
some of the badges and it looks like it could have been stitched in, but it's actually not. And it's
exactly,
like,
yeah. There's lots of badge options there. So you could do lots of sports stuff. You want to put some cool designs onto hats. That's a good option as well. And Ultracolor Pro. I mean, it's multicolor and unlimited colors. It's a hot peel. It's a low temperature application and it's very profitable. Nice. So that I'd say that's still, for me, people, full colour designs are not really going anywhere. Mm. Pick the best full colour product.
If someone was starting a new business, mm-hmm. and they're on a bit of a budget, what would you recommend them as like a starter pack?
If you can afford it, I would go for the auto open.
Yeah.
That'd be the one I would pick, just because it will last you so long and it's got so much functionality. It's got the pressure readout. It's got the two timers, but that pressure readout is what I would get. I know the auto open is great, so if you get distracted, but I'd want the pressure readout.
The pressure's great to be able to read that straight away.
Because it means that day one, you're not going to make any mistakes. Well, you're going to make some mistakes, but it'll be a lot less likely to make mistakes. So if you can get the auto open, I would. If that could fit within your budget, the top end one is about £1,800.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is unreasonable. There's finance options for even for people who've not got a business.
Didn't you say about Klarna before or something similar?
Yeah, you can order on Klarna.
Yeah,
we have like longer term finance options as well that are available. So you can do 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year terms on finance.
Yeah, and when you think about it, paying it back that way, when you're making profit and you're selling clothes, you're going to earn that money back before you know it.
Absolutely. So if you want a longer term version to look at it, say it kind of works out like £1 a day.
That's
crazy. So you can easily make your money back. I would try and squeeze a 360 IQ into my setup if I had enough budget, just because again, hats are so profitable. Hats are so popular. The hat market is growing at like 18% a year in the UK.
It's quite trendy as well at the moment, like a cap or a beanie. Beanie's never in trend at winter, that's for sure.
Exactly. And there's so many new hat types that are coming out for this winter. We've actually just done a new video on winter hat types where you can make profit from summer into autumn and winter. Mm-hmm. The hats are much thicker and they keep you warm as well as a beanie would do. And a great way to do that is with the 360 IQ. So if I could afford those two, that would be the two I would get.
Yeah.
Because then I can just like print money.
And then would there be any accessories or anything that you'd recommend for them to get? Or do you think it's just buy the normal release paper?
The thing is that all the accessories are always in stock. So get the release paper.
Yeah.
And that way if you've already got some designs where you know you can need a smaller pattern, you know, get one of the bundle deals that we have online. Yeah. If you're not sure, then I would, you know, we can, if you order by like 3 p.m., we'll send it the same day anyway.
So
you have it the next day. So it doesn't matter if you're like, that's where I have to draw the line.
Yeah.
Wait for the right job that will pay for that and then order it. We'll have it there the next day. So your turnaround won't be affected.
Yeah.
Whether it's a caddy stand, a platen, any type of accessory, we can always get them to you straight away.
Nice.
So what would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned? You've been heat printing a bit. You've been cutting some vinyl now.
Yeah.
If you could tell Molly of 2 weeks ago, like, watch out for this one, what would you tell her?
Oh, don't mess up. I'm trying to think of examples that I've done with the heat pattern earlier, like I was saying. if it's not going to cover the lower platen, don't expect the transfer to print. I was in disbelief over this. Like, I had not clocked that pulling down the top platen over the bottom one, that it was a bit smaller because I was printing onto a tote bag.
Yeah.
And I just kept trying to peel it and it wasn't going anywhere. The top half was, but the bottom half wasn't. So check your sizing. That's quite a self-explanatory one, really.
Yeah.
But
and this was, I mean, to be fair to you, this was one where I think you're using one of the smaller presses.
Yeah.
And you'd put the platen on portrait instead of landscape.
Yeah,
so you, to the naked eye, like it was debatable, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why it's always good to make mistakes. We always tell people, like, print loads of stuff at the beginning. You can get samples easily. It's not going to cost you loads of money and just mess up loads of stuff, and then you can figure it out.
Yeah. Another lesson would probably be maybe not rush when you're trying to learn things. Like, I would, like, stress and try and print it really quickly, and then I'd always forget to change time. Or, like, I'd pull it down the first time to set it and get rid of the moisture. And then I'd realise, oh, I haven't adjusted the pressure, quickly redo it. I'd have my transfer laying down and it's 3 seconds again. I'm like, now I've got to, like, try and quickly press it down because it's a hot peel and it's going to go all funny. So just take your time with it if you're learning, that's for sure.
Have you fused a transfer upside down yet?
No, I don't understand how
that's
people do
good.
That. Sorry. I don't get it. Because you know the T-shirt's going on forward.
I think I did that.
Yeah, it's a quite... And I have to be honest, I watched Beth do it. Because
I don't get it. Because, like, it's a T-shirt, so you look at it, it's upside down. So you're going to put... I'll do it later.
I think, like, it comes back around to... It's probably like the rushing thing, though, like you say.
Yeah.
It's like you're rushing. I mean, it had a release paper. If it didn't have release paper on, I would have stopped you. Because otherwise that would have been a bit cruel if you had to, like, clean a transfer, scrape it off the top
I'm
of the platen.
Yeah, dreading the day that I end up doing that. Because I'll put it down too quick and I've not made sure the release paper is down properly and it will start sliding out. And I'm like, just try and put that back again.
Yeah. And it's always good to use release paper, even if it's a hot peel, because of that. And I've seen it. People's presses have come in and that top platen is marked. Like, you wouldn't believe it, because they've been applying things wrong, overpressuring, and it starts to imprint the design into the top.
We don't want that also for any other designs and stuff.
Like a zip in the top. I've seen it. It doesn't look good. Okay, then. My last question for you then is, of all the things you've fused, because you've been pretty busy making content for everyone to enjoy, is what is the product you're most proud of making since you started, your favourite one so far?
I haven't got an answer. Should I be proud of my work? Is it good enough?
To be fair to Molly, she's always very excited by every product that you...
That's the thing. I don't know if there's really one... I love printing a T-shirt because you can't really screw up.
Is it?
Like, you put it on, you slap your design on it and you release paper and it's just sorted. I don't love doing hoodies because I can't quite understand with the front pouch where you put your hands in how to not get scorch marks and stuff like that. Try the pillow. I think it's a me problem.
I'd say it's probably it's a different platen on the bottom.
Yeah,
that's
maybe
the best way to. Some of those hoodie pockets really mark up if you get it wrong.
Mm.
If you want that pocket away from everything, so go with like 20x25 centimeter platen, and that should separate between the drawstring and the pocket.
Right.
Should give you enough space there.
Yeah, I probably should do that next time.
That's what I'd do.
I'm a culprit of using the biggest one, thinking it'll work for everything.
But that's good though, because, you know, you'll see that's the same mistakes that people listening are probably making. So that's why we're here, to try and help you stop making those mistakes. So if there's anything you're struggling with and you're like, I can't figure this out, do send us a message on any of our social channels or send us an email, give us a call, because we'd love to help you out. Maybe we can make a video for everyone else that's afraid to ask about how to fix that problem.
Yeah, I'm happy to embarrass myself for you guys.
There you go. Just ask Molly to help you with those videos. Or if you're really struggling, come to the Outerwear Summit on the 22nd of October in Braintree. Bring your problems with you. Come and speak to one of us and we'll solve those problems for you. Bring your problems with us, but only like related to heat printing.
Yeah, nothing
personal.
Therapy, no.
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
Like, you know,
content creator.
Yeah, that's not fair. I think it'd be a very good one, if I'm being honest. I'll just tell you go spend some money and I'll just solve your issues. Buy a heat press, that would be happy.
Yeah, well, lots of accessories will be available on sale on the day. So.
Yeah, well.
So in that case, thank you very much, everyone, for watching and listening this episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. If you need anything from Styles, do not hesitate to get in touch. Do make sure you go and follow along on all of our social channels. Molly's doing some wonderful content on there.
Yeah, hopefully cheer your day entertaining.
So make sure you follow, and we'll see you very soon on another episode.